भगवते वासुदेवाय. कैंटो टू चैप्टर 7 द स्केड्यूल इनकार्नेशंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 27. तोकेन जीवहरणं यद् उलूकिकाया त्रैमासिकस्य च पदा शकटो प्रवृत्तः यद् रिङ्गतान्तरगतेन दिवि स्पृशो वा उन्मूलनं इतरथाजुनोयोर् न भाव्यम् तोकेन जीवहरणं यद् उलूकिकाया तोकेन जीवहरणं यद् उलूकिकाया त्रैमासिकस्य च पदा शकटो प्रवृत्तः त्रैमासिकस्य च पदा शकटो प्रवृत्तः यद् रिङ्गतान्तरगतेन दिवि स्पृशोर्वा यद् रिङ्गतान्तरगतेन दिवि स्पृशोर्वा उन्मूलनं तु इतरार्जुनयोर्न भाव्यम् उन्मूलनं उन्मूलनं त्वितरार्थर्जुनयोर्न भाव्यम् उन्मूलनं त्वदितरार्थ अर्जुनयोर्न भाव्यम् तोकेन जीवहरणं यदुकुलिकायाः त्रैमासिकस्य च पदा शकटो प्रवृत्तः यद् रिङ्गतान्तरगतेन दिवि स्पृशोर्वा उन्मूलनं त्वितरथार्जुनयोर्न भाव्यम् तोकेन जीवहरणं युदुकुलिकाया त्रैमासिकस्य च पदा शकटोपवृत्तः यत् रिङ्गतान्तरगतेन दिवि स्पृशोर्वा उन्मूलनं त्वितरार्जुनयोर्न भाव्यम् वाज़् नाट् पासिबल् ट्रान्स्लेशन् एण्ड् पर्पट् बै हिस् डिवैन् ग्रेस् अभय चरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदान्त Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Translation. And there is no doubt about Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how was it possible for him to kill a giant demon like Putana when he was just on the lap of his mother? To overturn a cart with his leg when he was only 3 months old? To uproot a pair of Arjuna trees so high that they touched the sky when he was only crawling? All these activities are impossible for anyone other than the Lord himself. Purport. One cannot manufacture a god by one's mental speculation or by numerical votes, as has become a practice for less intelligent class of men. God is God eternally, and an ordinary living entity is eternally a part and parcel of God. God is one without a second, and the ordinary living entities are many without number. All such living entities are maintained by God Himself, and that is the verdict of the Vedic literatures. When Krishna was on the lap of his mother, the demon Putana appeared before him, his mother, and prayed to nurture the child in her lap. Mother Yashoda agreed, and the child was transferred onto the lap of Putana, who was in the garb of a respectable lady. Putana wanted to kill the child by smearing poison on the nipple of her breast. But when everything was complete, the Lord sucked her breast along with her very air of life, and the demon's gigantic body, said to be as long as 6 miles, fell down. But Lord Krishna did not need to expand himself to the length of the she-demon Putana. Although he was quite competent to extend himself more than 6 miles long, in his Vaman incarnation, he posed himself as a dwarf Brahmana. But when he took possession of his land, promised by Bali Maharaj, he expanded his foot to the top of the universe, extending over thousands and millions of miles. So it was not very difficult for Krishna to perform a miracle by extending his bodily feature. But he had no desire to do it because of his deep filial love, the Vatsalya Bhav, for his mother, Yashoda. If Yashoda had seen Krishna in her lap, extending 6 miles to cope with the she-demon Putana, then the natural filial love of Mother Yashoda would have been hurt, because in that way, Yashoda would have come to know that her so-called son Krishna was God Himself. And with the knowledge of the Godhood of Krishna, Yashoda Mai would have lost the temper of her love for Krishna as a natural mother. But as far as Lord Krishna is concerned, He is God always, either as a child on the lap of His mother or as the coverer of the universe, Vamana Dev. He does not require to become God by undergoing severe penances, although some men think of becoming God in that way. By undergoing severe austerities and penances, one cannot become one or equal with God, but one can attain most of the godly qualities. A living being cannot attain godly qualities to a large extent, but he cannot become God. Whereas Krishna, without undergoing any type of penance, is God always, either in the lap of his mother, or growing up, or at any stage of growth. So at the stage of only 3 months, he killed Shakatasura, who had remained hidden behind a curtain, behind a cart, in the house of Yashoda Mai. And when he was crawling and was disturbing his mother from doing household affairs, the mother tied him with a grinding pestle. But the naughty child dragged the pestle up to a pair of a very high Arjuna trees in the yard of Yashoda Mai. And when the pestle was stuck between the pair of trees, they fell down with a horrible sound. When Yashoda Mai came to see the happenings, she thought that a child had been saved from the falling trees by the mercy of the Lord. Without knowing that the Lord Himself, crawling in her yard, had wrecked the havoc. So that is the way of reciprocation of love affairs between Lord and His devotees. Yashoda Mai wanted to have the Lord as a child, and the Lord played exactly like a child in her lap, but at the same time played the part of Almighty whenever it was so required. The beauty of such pastimes was that the Lord fulfilled everyone's desires. In case of felling the gigantic Arjuna trees, the Lord's mission was to deliver the two sons of Kuvera, who were condemned to become trees by the curse of Narada, as well as to play like a crawling child in the yard of Yashoda, who took transcendental pleasure in seeing such activities of the Lord in the very yard of her home. The Lord, in any condition, is the Lord of the universe, and He can act as such in any form, gigantic or small, as He likes. So, a very beautiful section in Srimad Bhagavatam, where in coming 7 days, we'll see beautiful, enthralling pastimes of Lord Krishna. You know, very beautiful theme selected by Sukadeva Goswami. And here he is pointing out the effortless leelas that the Lord does. He killed a she-demon Putana. He killed the Shakatasura. He uprooted the Arjuna trees in a very, very easy way. By the way, just did it smilingly. So, you know, many times it is very evident that anybody who does a lot of hard work, there'll be a lot of, you know, muscle motion on his face, you know, showing his biceps and triceps, you know. That is what an action movie is all about. You know, action, people like to see that action. But when that action is done by somebody in a very swift way, without much hard work, you know, it seems very unreal, you know. Especially like, you know, some heroes that they come on the screen and, you know, they flip things in such a way, they do things in such a way that, you know, it seems very unreal. But all of that root is in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is doing his leelas in such amazing way, in such comfortable, easy way, that everybody will wonder, was it done by him? All these leelas, whenever anybody noticed it, they just could not believe that he did it. Why? Because the Lord wanted to do these leelas in such a way so that he does not disturb the mood of his devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. You know, probably the first shloka that we learned, you know, because we heard it in as a beginning of a serial. So, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. Why does the Lord appear? To save, to protect his devotees and to punish the miscreants. But the Lord here is doing such pastimes as Krishna. He did such amazing pastimes that his main primary goal was to serve his devotees. Unke liye aaya hu main. Unke saath, I have come here to reciprocate with them. I am come here to deal with them. I have come here to entertain them. And everything else is by the way. And he did everything so effortlessly so that it does not affect. Matlab, somebody, you know, it's like somebody is talking to his loving friend, but at the same time doing so many other things with multitasking effortlessly without disturbing the attention to the friend. Now, he's not feeling that. You know, many times it happens that you go to a person and he's doing so many different things, and you're sitting there and you want to talk to that person, but he's busy doing this, busy doing that, and you wonder, hey, should I sit here or not? You know, do you want me to leave? But the Lord is so amazing that he's a super multitasker, that he does everything at the same time, does not disturb the mood of his devotees. No, my devotees and their dealings, these leelas that he did in Vrindavan are so supremely pure and supremely sacred, the Bala Leelas, that this is for the relish of my devotees and I will not disturb it at any cost. Anybody who comes and does any disturbance to them, I will destroy them, but in a way that doesn't disturb my devotees' mood. So here, as Putana came, the first pastime, as the verse speaks, she came in a very, very deluded, you know, illusory form. How do the demons look like? Very horrible. You know, when you heard about a Rakshas, to see, she actually depicted how the Rakshasas in Kali Yuga will be. They'll be very well dressed. Although she was wearing very, very gory clothes, her look was very fearsome, her eyes were very red, she had such sharp teeth. So she was a demon, Rakshasi. But she turned into a very beautiful damsel. So much so, so beautiful, so nicely dressed that nobody could recognize her, who she is. Somebody thought she's Parvati, somebody thought she's a beautiful Apsara. And Mother Yashoda, who was so protective of Lord Krishna, she handed over her baby to Putana to be fed. Krishna, the Acharyas say that how Putana represents a fake guru, one who comes in the garb, a spiritual attire, but has a lot of ulterior motives, who poses to be a guru but is not. And Krishna is the one who reveals that. So as she picked up Krishna, like a small child, started drinking her milk. And as he was drinking milk, he sucked so hard that he sucked out her very life air. And you know, when you are, you know, agitated, when you are disturbed, many times what comes out? What is there inside? You know, the real you comes out when we are disturbed, right? So here, as she was disturbed, she could not hold on to her facade, to her makeup. She appeared in her most fearful form, which was how big? 6 miles big. You know, what is 6 miles? Can you imagine? How much is 1 mile? 1.6 kilometers. You can imagine what 6 miles is. She became so long, but Krishna, with the same size, did not leave her, was still attached to her body. And there, with extreme pain, she fell. You know, today is the verse where everybody's falling. Putana fell, Shakatasura fell, and now the Yamalarjuna are falling, you know. So how Krishna makes all the demons fall, the fall of the demons. And here, in the Putana pastime, Krishna revealed what a fake guru is. And with as much a height as she had, she destroyed that many forests as she fell. So, you know, anybody who poses to be a guru but is not, when something unfortunate happens, and the reality is revealed, the faith of so many is crushed. So Krishna revealed the false guru. But same Krishna, through the same pastime, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same verse, revealed a real guru. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we hear that Gadadhar Pandit, as he was taken by Mukunda to meet a devotee, and as he entered the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, you know, normally when you are a devotee, you know, you are very neatly dressed, very, you know, have a nice tilak. But as he entered Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he saw so much opulence. He started wondering, he said, so much opulence, a devotee. And he had the best of the oils on his body. So much of, you know, lavish, luxurious things are all around. And he's wondering, are is a devotee? He's looking at Mukunda, as you know, talking as a devotee. So at that time, to remove his illusion, Mukunda started singing a verse. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigham sayapyayapyas asadhavi lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam kamvadayalu sharanam rajayimam. Who is that foolish person who will not take shelter of the Lord who provided the stature of a dhatri, the stature of a nurse, of a mother, to that demon who came to kill him by feeding him the stanakalakuta poison? What is the mercy of that Lord who delivered that same person who came to kill him by poison? Just by reciting this verse, what happened? Just by the remembrance of Srimad Bhagavatam, Pundarik Vidyanidhi erupted in ecstasy. Just by remembrance. And all the different signs of ecstasy were shown. And looking at that ecstatic state of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit understood, he's not a normal person. He's a person of a very highly advanced stature. And he decided to take Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his own guru. Then we have the pastime of Shakatasura. The previous acharyas have said how Shakatasura represents the load of past habits. Shakat, Shakat is a cart. A gadi in which everything is loaded. So, he represents that anartha of us where we are loaded, because of our actions many times is because of our past habits. So loaded with so much past habits. But what did Krishna do? Krishna, just by the touch of his soft feet. What is the feet of a child, 3 months old? How soft is that feet? But as he kicked the cart collapsed. If our cart of sinful activities collapse, what will happen to us? We'll be drowned in the so much conditioning we have. But Krishna here was untouched. And everybody, some cowherd boys saw that he kicked. And they told, Krishna kicked and the cart crumbled. But nobody was ready to believe. And Krishna didn't want them to believe. So Shakatasura represents the loads of past habits which Krishna can kick. Only thing is that we have to allow Krishna to kick. We have to allow that practice to happen by which our habits can be kicked away. And then the next pastime is the beautiful pastime of Damodar. Very beautifully, His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj, he writes in his beautiful book called as Damodara Janani. The 10th canto, 10th chapter, it talks about the deliverance of Yamalarjuna trees. And today we have the 27th verse. And the 27th verse of that chapter specifically describes of how did the trees fall.
Balena nishkarayatan vag ulukhalam tat damodarena tarasot kalitang hribandho nishpetatu parama vikramati pavip nikramati tavepa skanda pravala vitapaukrita chanda shabdo. By dragging behind him with great force the wooden mortar tied to his belly, the boy Krishna uprooted the two trees. by the great strength of Supreme Person, the two trees with their trunks, leaves and branches trembled severely and fell to the ground with a great crash. So the Leela has progressed from Krishna being bound, and as he is bound, Mother Yashoda has left with a lot of hard work, morning till evening. She has bound Krishna, and now Krishna standing there is waiting. Now what? Not next. Suddenly all his friends come around him and start teasing him. You know, what is this? Some friends are saying, oh, you must be hungry. I'll get something for you. But here, as Krishna has been tied, he is reminded that very soon I have to do something more interesting. Krishna was lost in thought because he was going through ki abhi next scan kare the, abhi next kya kare. So when he saw the Arjuna trees, you know, it's like, you know, you suddenly when you see somebody, you are remembered of his past. So looking at the trees, he remembered who they were, what they did, why are they like this. So after understanding their past, you know, the scene comes where his friends are still with him. His friends whispered, he is in one of those moods again. Is he planning to rob someone's storeroom of milk products? Not with that mortar tied to his waist. Then is he thinking of how to get revenge from his mother? He loves her mother too much. His mother too much that he loves her so much he won't do that. I wonder what his mind, whatever it is, you will soon know by what he does or by what he tells us to do. Having relived the history of how the demigods Nalakuvar and Manigrev came to the tree, to be trees in Gokula, Krishna knew that the initiative was of his very, very benevolent devotee Narada Muni, who had promised the demigods that the Lord would free them from his curse, and Krishna, being duty bound to keep the promises to his devotees, would act according to Narada's will. He would liberate Nalakuvar and Manigreva. Now, a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that what is the main activity or work that Krishna has? The main activity that he has is to fulfill the words of his devotee. He has only one job. That is, whatever the devotees want, he wants to do that. Everything else is just miscellaneous. Krishna thought, when a superlative devotee like Narada commits me in some way, I am puppet to their will. Moreover, purified of their offenses, the two brothers' devotion to me is blossoming, and that devotion should now bear fruit. It's time for me to reciprocate with them. Leaning forward, Damodar began slowly to crawl on his hands and knees. He started crawling. His friends watched. They were like spellbound. Too enthralled to move or speak, Krishna turned their way and smiled. He said nothing. His silence was like saying, you know, sit still and see what I do now. You know, it's like, you know, whatever he does for his devotees. So he's just preparing them for the next scene, you know. Have faith, you'll have fun, don't worry. Krishna started moving like, you know, a wave in a silent pond. Like there's a single cloud, and when it's moving slowly, slowly, he was moving very slowly. Why? Because if the mortar becomes loose, then mother will be all the more upset, and I do not need more scolding. I had enough. With her stick in hand, she has scolded me. I don't want more scolding. Besides that, he was just a little boy. If he pulled too energetically, he could run out of strength. So he said, you know, let's do things, you know. Many times, you know, in kirtan, many times, you know, when you dance, you know, after you do very, very frantic moments, you know, there is sudden loss of strength. So, you know, devotees are very smart. You know, they will dance as if there is a lot of action going to happen, but their movements will be very slow. So here Krishna is going slow, but surely he has a big pastime to unfold. Krishna thought, because he disseminates devotion to all over the three worlds, Narada is very dear to me. For his sake, I will free Kuvira's son from their three bodies, bless them with supreme devotion, and send them back to Godhead. I'll free them, I'll infuse them with devotion, and I'll send them back to their own abodes. To meet Krishna was a very rare perfection, which neither aristocratic birth nor untold wealth qualifies one. But it becomes possible only by the will of a pure devotee. And so by Narada's intervention, Nalakuvar and Manigriv became eligible to participate in Krishna's pastime and to receive this causeless mercy. And now, things are going to get animated. And as he is moving, suddenly the friends see that the mortar seems to be moving on his own. You know, we can see that Krishna is moving, but the mortar started moving. And not only that, the rope also started glowing. Krishna was glowing, the rope was glowing, and the mortar was glowing. And as Krishna was moving forward, it didn't seem that he's pulling the mortar. The mortar was gliding on its own. The cowherd boys watched in amazement as Krishna's effulgence spread both rope and mortar. How is that the mortar is moving on its own? It's not. It's rolling downhill. It is not rolling. It is sliding and never picking up some momentum. Then it is sliding on its own. You are being silly. This is the conversation between the friends. You are the silly one. How else could it be moving when the rope is slack? Look. Besides, because it is tied to Krishna like he, the mortar can do anything. That is true. Look again. The mortar is just like the rope. It is sometimes snaking along its own way. They are both alive. Why not? They are connected to Damodar. Whatever the rope and the mortar are doing, it appears that Krishna is headed towards those two trees. The distance between Krishna and the trees was becoming shorter. Observing the Lord approaching, the trees quivered in ecstasy. After 1,000 years, finally, our penance will bear a fruit. Kab se khade hain, you know, when you're waiting for somebody to come near you, you've been watching, observing that great personality that you have always adored. And now is the time when Krishna is coming closer to them. And the trees are feeling, you know, finally the Lord has given us darshan. Krishna thought, Nalakuvar and Manigriv have been, you know, passive observers of my Leela. But now it's the time to include them in my Leela and bless them my Leela Shakti. Thinking this way, Krishna contemplated a new game in which mortar and tree were players. With redoubled determination, he crawled between the two trees. Those trees were coming from same root, and they had grown like a V. Same root, but there was enough space in between them so that anybody can crawl. So Krishna deftly went and slowly crawled over these trees without touching them. And then as he went ahead, he looked back, you know, that I hope everything is fine. Just by his looking that everything is fine, you know, in a very perfectionist way, that I have dragged the mortar properly between the trees, the mortar understood that, you know, he was saying the rope, ready, no? Ready for the pastime. And the mortar, which was vertical, became horizontal. Because now was the time for the Leela to begin. Saying this, the mortar fell down. "Friend, prepare yourself. I am ready," the rope said. Krishna took another few steps while the mortar positioned itself across the two trees and the rope grew tighter. Now, the ropes were silken ropes. You know, normally if a rope is tightened, it will break. And now, the whole thing is going to be that the trees are going to be, you know, uprooted. So, uske liye kitna tight rope lagega? You know, it's so tight rope was required. But because they were touched by his Leela Shakti, the ropes became alive. And the Leela began. The cowherd boys were still up, you know, chatting and seeing that Krishna, now what is he doing? What will happen now? Watch and see. Now Krishna is really trapped. Not only he is tied to the mortar, he is now restrained by the trees. He really knows how to get himself in trouble, isn't he? Must be bad stars today. The boys laughed as their laughter rolled down the hill and taunted Krishna. "Let us see you get out of this tree, this mess, Krishna." But Krishna merely smiled in their direction, you know. That's such a beautiful scene with his curly hairs and his sparkling eyes in mischief. He is looking at them and saying, "Just wait. Was it really hard? Strengthen not?" It looked like. So Krishna said, "Abhi thoda zor lagana padega." So he, you know, strengthened his muscles with his fist, with his face, you know, with all strength tried to pull. And as he pulled, he fell down on his back, you know, where he was flapping his legs. He said, "What happened?" And then he realized that the rope was slack and he saw the mortar was pushing. The mortar was pushing itself, and with so much force, the Arjuna trees felt as if the entire universe was pressurizing them. And with a loud crack, they fell. There were two sounds. One was of the crack, and one was their falling on the ground. And they fell in such a way that neither a leaf, neither a branch touched Krishna. They fell in right way, and as they fell, the mortar rolled and came towards Krishna. Krishna was not really bothered about what happened to the trees. You know, when the mortar came to him, you know, it's a you know, when something you tighten and suddenly it becomes loose, it comes towards you heading. So as the mortar came and it stopped near Krishna, Krishna touched the mortar, you know, like as if he's a beautiful calf. He said, good job. And Krishna all the time was playing with the rope and the mortar, and what happened to the trees, he was least bothered. He said, "Mera kaam tha inko udhar karna ho gaya." But the main thing was, he was interested with the rope and the mortar. The two sounds, and these two sounds did two things. Because the crack was loud, the trees falling, as today's verse mentions that these trees were as tall as if touching the sky. So you can imagine the length of the trees. So when such big trees fall, there was a huge sound. Two things happened. The Brajvasis became unconscious because of the sound. And the Acharyas mentioned, as they fell on the ground became soft like butter to hold them. And all the others, see, when you see the trees falling, your friend is, you know, caught in the tree, the cowherd boys will definitely run towards Krishna. But the cowherd boys felt like as if, you know, statue. They were frozen. They could see everything, they could feel everything, but they could not move. They were immobilized. They're wondering, what's happening, you know? What is Krishna going to do now? But amazingly, Krishna wanted to have a personal dialogue with the trees. And this reciprocation between Krishna and the Yamuna Arjuna trees is something very, very amazing. Before they came out, Krishna was still playing with the rope. He was pulling the motor nearby, pushing it ahead, and wondering. He was wondering that, you know, I freed them, but I am not free. What is this amazing rope of love of my mother? You know, Gopal Champu has a very beautiful verse which says, Shamanga Dyuti Kinkini. Shamanga Dyuti Kinkini Dhvanidharam Ringati Ranga Pradam Karshat Shashwada Dukhalam Karakarat Kara Prakara Pratham Vispurja Pratimarjuna Dvayakatat Kararjitat Kautukat Pratyavritta nirikshanam vrajavadhu lalasya balyam stuve. I adore the childhood years of darling of Raja's women. During this time, Krishna's dark blue body is very effulgent, and the bells around his ankles and waist made a jingling sound, kinkini, kinkini. He delighted everyone with enchanting crawling movements, the same crawling with which he dragged a mortar, with sounds of khara khara, and effortlessly uprooted two Arjuna trees. As the trees made a loud cracking sound, he curiously looked behind himself and smiled. You know, reasons why Krishna smiled. He was smiling that I have freed the trees, but I am not able to free myself. No. Krishna was like, you know, they are free, but I cannot be. For this is the bond of affection of my mother who has encaged me by her supreme prema and devotion. Here, as Krishna is wondering, you know, what is this amazing, the same rope, the same mortar, but I am not able to free myself. When was Krishna able to be freed? Who freed Krishna? Nanda Maharaj freed Krishna. The same bond of affection which bound Krishna, similar affection was able to free him. He was so affectionate, he was so submissive to the bond of his mother and father that he did not choose or he could not free himself. As Nalakur and Manigreve, they come out and they start praying to the Lord. O Krishna, O Krishna. Krishna looked up. You're talking to me? O Lord, our being cursed by Narad Muni was but your plan to free us from this life of sin. And our being freed by you is Narada's causeless mercy upon us. We deem that everything has been rightly done and we offer you obeisances again and again. Why are you two exalted demigods praying respect to me? I am just a naughty cowherd boy tied to a mortar. Oh Lord, you may be tied to a mortar, but you simultaneously liberated us. Cowherd boys cannot do that. Only the master of mysticism, the Supreme Person, can do so. And you are that Supreme Person, the knower of everything, past, present, and future. Krishna clapped his hand and laughed. Why make up such fancy tale of me? Being master of creation, can you not see who I am? Nalakumar understood that the Lord was enjoying the exchange. He said, long ago, we heard our father Kubera giving us discourse and telling how the Lord will appear as a small gopa. Which text did you hear? Krishna is asking. The Brahma Samhita, for example, in which Creator states, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is supreme controller of all controllers. There are so many persons by the name Krishna. Krishna is counter-arguing. Manigreva replied, there are. But there is only one who tends to Surubhi cows, who is served by many gopis, and who plays the flute. Krishna turned his head sideways but said nothing. He was still playing with the rope and kept nodding. You know, okay, go on, go on. What next do you have to tell me? Since Krishna seemed to agree to Manigreev's claim that he was supreme, the two brothers began to glorify him. An innocent expression of inquisitive child. Oh Lord, you have mercifully liberated us, and that is befitting, for you are the ultimate cause of our bondage. What? Are you suggesting that I am responsible for your misdeeds? Nalakuvara answered, we are the immediate cause of our misdeeds because we misused our free will. But because you are time, the instigator of all action, because you are the creator, the ingredient with which action takes place, and because you are the controller, the ultimate permitter of action, and therefore we suggest that you are the remote cause of our conduct. Krishna smiled. You mean to say I did everything? And you both are free of offense? That is not our stance, Lord. We take responsibility for our misdeeds. You know, an amazing virtue where a devotee takes his own responsibility for what he does. It is because scriptures say that you are material cause of everything. We think that we are worthy of your grace. In other words, it was Krishna's plan that Narada's curse, the two demigods, and they appeared as tree in Gokula, so that he could liberate them as a part of his pastime. Are you saying that because I am the material cause, I am composed of modes of nature? Oh no, 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 no. You are untouched by goodness, passion, and ignorance. You are Trigunatita. There is no slightest trace of these modes in you, for your form is absolute. You are the most sublime. Krishna, distracted, pulled the mortar towards him and then gently kicked it away. So in this exchange, Krishna told them, he said, do you know about me? You've heard about me, but do you really know about me? So the acharyas explained that Krishna touched them with his samvit shakti, the shakti of all cognizance, and gave them the real knowledge, after which they actually glorified the Lord. And as they glorified the Lord and asked him for the boon of devotional service, of being totally undeterredly serving him, they asked, we don't want to hear anything else but your glories. We want to chant nothing else but your glories. We want to do nothing else but worship you. Krishna granted that boon to them. But as they were leaving, they said, please understand, I wouldn't even looked at you. You know, the kind of activities you are doing, I wouldn't have even looked at you. It is only and only by the mercy of Narad Muni that you have received this blessing. And you know what actually is your blessing? Your blessing is not my darshan. Your blessing is not my boon to you. Your blessing started with the very meeting of my devotee. My devotees are so amazing and so dear to me. Whoever they put their vision on and mercy on, I am bound to help them. Whatever you want will happen. But please understand that make your devotion to your spiritual master Narad Muni very, very strong. And only by that you will be able to make your life successful. So, a very, very beautiful pastime where Krishna showed by his very, very casual and normal ways, he delivered such big demons, giving us such big, amazing lessons for pure devotional service to him and to his devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.